Praise the Lord. I just appreciate the Lord and His goodness. And I appreciate being with you on Christmas Eve. I feel like you are my family. And in fact, I visit with most of you more than I visit with my family and my blood family. And it's special to me. I even love it when Christmas Day is on Sunday. I'll never forget 20 years or so ago whenever we started the church, and Jan and I were a young couple, and both our parents were living, and we'd always been at home with our parents, and now her parents have gone on to be with the Lord. But I remember our first Christmas Day that happened on Sunday, because up until that point when we were associate pastors and youth pastors, we'd always go home on Christmas Day. And I can remember Christmas Day coming up for the first Sunday that we were pastors, and she's asking me, she said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "We're going to pastor our church." And it was a different experience, but I liked it. And the people that you worship with and labor with in the kingdom all year long, it's just something special to me to be able to hear you sing and worship and be with you on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And I love the specials. We could have just had a bunch of specials like this today for the whole service. But I love to see people singing, and thank you for your testimony of a German Christmas. I loved all of it, but the switches. Gives Santa a new meaning, does it? I think we need to incorporate that here in America. Santa's got toys and Santa's got switches.
I just saw the other part of that gift. Thank you all very, very much.
Where are you going?
Day spa, baby.
Day spa. Day spa. Let's switch. Thank you very much. That'll make my life easier too. That means having a stress-free Christmas. Just a, you know, because we have Jesus Christ in our heart. Was in our prayer meeting this morning, and we were kind of going around the table saying what we're thankful for and attitude. And our elders always got something good to say and something anointed to say in our prayer meetings. And he was talking about attitude this morning, and he said, you know, it's attitude is where it's at. And Walt said, "I agree." And Walt said, "You know, I had something this week that really could have stressed me out." He said, "But it helped someone else. And I realized it was helping someone else." And he said, "So I decided just to make the best of it and had a good attitude." And he said, "It really could have stressed me out, but I didn't allow it to stress me out. Because it was helping someone else. And I knew that I could handle the situation and still make it a good situation." And he said, "And it was good." And so we think about attitude, and I appreciate you saying that, you know, we need to stop and realize what this season is all about, and it's about Jesus. And I love that, putting the baby Jesus out there and making him birthday gifts and all that. That's a wonderful illustration, and just slowing down a little. Randy called me one day, and he said, "I forgot to tell you what I was stressed out about." And he went to tell me about what he was stressed out about. And he has prayed for years for a beautiful wife, and God sent him a beautiful wife. And she had a little fender bender. And I said, "You know, well, she's okay, isn't she?" "Oh yeah, she's fine. The car, you know, it's the one that took the brunt." And I said, "Well, the car, you know, it's going to burn. How many knows all of your cars, even your Lexus, is going to burn? No matter what kind of insurance you got, your Lexus is going to burn, your house is going to burn, all this is going to burn with a fervent heat, the Bible says, and then God's going to restore and make everything new." And so everything we have in possessions is just possessions. That's what it is, temporal. But I said, "Your lovely wife is fine that you prayed for." And the main thing, and I said, this is Satan's trick for us as humans. He wants to get our mind occupied with temporal things that don't matter, so we'll miss the beauty of what God's given us. And the beauty of this Christmas is not what you get, whether it's a Bass Pro card or a spa card. This year, and as nice as those things are, what is really nice is the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And to celebrate that. To celebrate that and let a world see that we have a life that's shining in us and a birth that we're excited about, and we celebrate every year because it's such a wonderful gift for us to enjoy. And it's brought to you through Jesus Christ, His Son. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read you something, then we'll go to Matthew. God had entered the world as a baby. Yet were someone to chance upon the sheep stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem that morning, what a peculiar scene they would behold. The stable stinks, like all stables do. The stench of urine, dung, and sheep reeks pungently in the air. The ground is hard and the hay scarce. Cobwebs cling to the ceiling and a mouse scurries across the dirt floor. A more lowly place of birth could not exist. Off to one side sit a group of shepherds. They sat silently on the floor, perhaps perplexed, perhaps in awe, no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a symphony of angels. God goes to those who have time to hear Him. Did you catch it? God goes to those who have time to hear Him. So on this cloudless night, He went to simple shepherds. Near the young mother sits the weary father. If anyone is dozing, he is. He can't remember the last time he sat down. And now that the excitement has subsided a bit, and now that Mary and the baby are comfortable, he leans against the wall of the stable and feels his eyes grow weary. He still hasn't figured it all out. The mystery of the event even puzzles him. But he hasn't the energy to wrestle with the questions. What's important is that the baby is fine and Mary is safe. As sleep comes, he remembers the name the angel told him to use, Jesus. We will call him Jesus. Wide awake is Mary. My, how young she looks. Her head rests on the soft leather of Joseph's saddle. The pain has been eclipsed by wonder. She looks into the face of the baby, her son, her Lord, her majesty. At this point in history, the human being who best understands who God is and what He is doing is a teenage girl in a smelly stable. She can't take her eyes off of Him. Somehow Mary knows she's holding God. So this is He. She remembers the words of the angel. His kingdom will never end. He looks like anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of mundane. Holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat. Divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, and in the presence of a carpenter. She touches the face of the infant God. How long was your journey? This baby had overlooked the universe, these rags keeping him warm with the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen. And worshiping angels had been replaced with kind but bewildered shepherds. Meanwhile, in the city hums, the merchants are unaware that God has visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent God into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them that the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibilities. Those those who missed the majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. Life or little has changed in the last 2,000 years, has it? And they know that God has sent us a gift through Jesus Christ, and we should be looking for Him every day. Somebody was saying the other day, you know, it's the season that's last year round. I said, well, the season's something that comes and goes, but Jesus is here with us every day, and we need to celebrate Him. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter. And I just want to give you a couple little things, and then we'll dismiss. I know that most of you are headed somewhere. But I want to bring out one more thing about the price of Christmas, and we haven't talked much about Joe and Mary. And look at the price that came through this young couple as they were obedient to the call of God upon their lives. In Matthew 1 and verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. One of the things I wanted to remind us about this morning is this, that when God calls us to do something great for His kingdom, He is not concerned about our comfort, but He's concerned about obedience. You ever notice that? Has God ever called you to do anything that was a little uncomfortable for you? Maybe it was a lot uncomfortable for you. First time I ever spoke, it was just terrifying. First time I ever sang a song behind a microphone, it was just like somebody stuck a shotgun in my face. It was the hammer was back and their finger was on the trigger. I was scared to death. I remember the first time I ever preached on the radio. It seemed like I'd get one experience and I'd think, now I'm through with my fears. And then God would call me to do this, and God would challenge me to do this. And the last scare, you know, we think is the last scare, God will give us something else if we're just obedient and reaching out to the community. Because He always gives us something bigger than us. Something bigger than we are. Something that's unbelievable. And God had given Mary and Joseph something that was unbelievable. In fact, we just read where Joseph, when Mary had shared with him that, Joe, I'm pregnant, and I know we're not married yet, but we're engaged, but I'm pregnant and I'm having God's baby. And young Joseph didn't believe her, and how many could relate to him and saying, I can see how young Joseph would not believe Mary. How many has ever had someone tell you an unbelievable story, but you knew the individuals and you thought, well, I know them, but that's pretty hard to believe. It's harder when somebody you know and you really have trust and they tell you some sort of unbelievable story. It's harder not to believe them, but sometimes when they tell you a story, it's like, did that really happen? I saw a preacher, you'd probably know him, and I don't feel at liberty to tell you his name. He's probably telling the truth, but it was so far-fetched. He was talking about he was in a different country, and he was in a little hut, and it had lights and things, but his little building or house, and he said he remembers he was asleep, and something coming in, shaking his bed, and moving it away from the wall, and he jumped up and flipped on the light, and he said that there was a satanic figure standing there looking at him all crouched in that room. And he said, "Oh, it's just you," and flipped the light off and went back to bed. Now that's unbelievable, but then he said, what next thing he said was really unbelievable. He said, the next thing I thought was he moved my bed, and he said, "Satan, get back in here and move my bed back where you found it in Jesus' name." And he came back in and moved it over where it was. How many says, "I just have a hard time believing that"? How many just believe that? Okay, see there? See there? Now, how many would just say, "I'll stake my life on that story"? Let me see your hand. So it is kind of unbelievable, isn't it? If you want to put it in perspective, it's a little unbelievable. I have some relatives, good God-fearing Christian people, and they told me one time, years ago, they said, "You know what? We had an UFO encounter." Good, solid Christian people. They were driving along this long stretch of road in Texas, and they said all of a sudden it was out there, and it hovered over them for a while, and it took off just as quickly. Said it was unbelievable. I said, "That's pretty much the way I see it. It's unbelievable." But then when you think about it, this Bible is full of unbelievable stories, isn't it? That God would send His Son for you. Is there a human being, is there a world big enough that you would send your child to die for someone else? We send them in the service and sometimes they die, but we don't send them to die. That's just the tragedy of war. But is there anyone that you would send your child to die for? It's unbelievable, isn't it? That God looked at you and said, "I love you so much, I'll send my only son for you to die to take your sins. As much as I love you all, I couldn't send one of my kids to die for you. Not the whole room full of you. If I had to choose between you and one of my grandkids, I'll see you on the other side of heaven." I can't fathom that kind of love. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. How about the Red Sea when they're needing to go across and God just parts the sea and it's dry on the ground, the Bible says, and they marched across. I mean, that's unbelievable. Little boy was in Sunday school one day and he was new to the faith, and his dad was questioning when he came out of Sunday school and said, "What did they teach you in there?" And he said, "Well, they taught me that God was bringing these children, His children, out of Egypt, and so they needed to wade across the sea, and so he had some carpenters and they built a big bridge and they all crossed over on that bridge, and when they got to the other side they sent some Secret Service agents back and they blew the thing up with Pharaoh and all of his chariots on there, and it's sank and they drowned and all died, and the children of Israel got across safe." And the dad said, "Son, I just want you to know that is not true. Don't believe a word they said." He said, "Dad, if I told you what they really said, you would never believe that." Unbelievable. Can you imagine going in your first time to ever hear about Moses and God parting the water, and you're trying to comprehend this, and you've never seen water part, or, you know, when Peter walked on the water. Isn't that an unbelievable story? It's unbelievable. And so the Bible's filled with unbelievable stories, and this is another one of those. And when young Mary comes and she says to her husband, she said, "I'm pregnant," and Joe, probably the worst news he could ever listen to is have someone that's engaged say to their spouse, "You know, I'm pregnant with someone else's baby." And then we think about, but Pastor, that's God's baby. And think about it from a young husband's perspective. And I did that for the first time really this year to this degree. And I thought about it. Jan and I were married when we were very, very young. And I was so in love with her. And I just don't think if I had got a dream that I would still be excited about Jana having somebody else's baby. Not even God's. We were at dinner the other night with my superintendent and his wife and another couple that pastors here in town, and his wife is Japanese, and they wanted to take us to a Japanese restaurant, and so we went up north to a Japanese restaurant, and we were sitting there, and it's like, what are you preaching on? And we're just talking shop, you know, as preachers do, and I said, well, this Christmas Eve, I'm preaching on this, and I told him a little bit about Joseph and what I've been pondering on and meditating on, and I said, you know, I was thinking that if God had picked me, and I'm not trying to put myself in the Joseph and Mary's position, you understand, but if, say, God had come to Jana and I, and he says, Jana's going to be the one to have my son, I said, I just don't think I would still be excited. Because that's my wife. And I've waited, and when I get married, I'm ready to, you know, take the next step. You know? I mean, no. Yeah. That's just the way young men are. That's why they get in trouble. But you wait, and it's legal, and you think, you know, all the sex you want with God's blessing. It's a good deal. And so I said, I don't think I could have gotten excited about even knowing that this is God's baby, that she's having God's baby. And my superintendent looked at me and said, Jack, that's why he's called Saint Joe and you're not Saint Jack. I thought, ain't that the truth? But I just never thought about that. And then I said this, and they said, when the Christmas will never be the same, you just ruin it. So I hope I don't ruin your Christmas. But then I said this. I said, but think about it. When your wife, if she does say, I'm having God's baby, and then everything's finished, and you say, I know, honey, you just had God's baby, but what would you think about maybe having one of mine? Wouldn't you feel a little inadequate, you know? Mary St. Joe, I just had God's baby. Come on. These are things we don't think about because it didn't affect us. We don't think about the fact that Joe, and I thought maybe, what did he feel the night that the story I just read, and by the way, that's Max Lucado, When God Came Near. It's a wonderful book. That first piece that I read. But what did he think when he was in the stable and he had came to Bethlehem and he's late and there's no room in the inn and here lay Mary with God's baby, carrying God's baby. And what is young Joe thinking? Is he thinking, what a failure I am? And is God going to be mad at me because I didn't even get to town early enough to get his wife, his the mother of his child, a room? What is Joe feeling about all this? Think about it, guys. If that's your responsibility and you get to town late and there's no room and now here God's son's going to be born in the stable and you're feeling responsible. Or it may not have been that at all. It may have been Joe was feeling, you know, this is, you know, we did postpone for 9 months here. You could kind of give us a little help. This is not what I pictured when you called us to have your child. Not that, you know, for goodness sake, you're God. Why don't you boot some sinner out of a room and put Mary in there? What was he thinking? I don't know what he was thinking. He was thinking something probably along one of those lines. But I'm telling you, he was thinking that this is, I don't understand it all, but I know it's not comfortable for me, but I know it's God's will. I know it's God's will. Something else Max wrote, I just jotted down, because when I read this, I got so tickled. When we don't think about what young people give up and what old people give up and what middle-aged people give up. When they're doing the will of God, God calls us not to comfort, but He calls us to obedience. And there's always something to give up. In other words, He's saying, Joe's ready to get married, and Mary's ready to get married, and they're ready to start a family, and they're ready to start acting like a young couple. But God says, well, I want you to postpone all of your plans, and I want you to postpone that for a while, because I want to interrupt that with my plans. And how many know sometimes God looks at you and me and said, I would like to interrupt your plans for just a little while, and I want to show you my plans. And they're different from yours. I'll get around to it. But how many knows when your plan, when God comes with a new plan and He wants to birth something through you, His plan's always better than your plan. We just don't know how to trust Him for that. Here, listen to what Max says. Max Lucado writes, Joseph, he took cold showers for 9 months so the baby could be born of a virgin. He had to push away sheep to clear out the cow patties so his wife could have a place to give birth. He became a fugitive of the law. He spent 2 years trying to understand Egyptian. These are all things that Joe went through and he had to experience because God had a plan for him. I would like to see us this year say this to God. Interrupt my plans anytime you wish. When you go down and you minister to the poor and you check on people like that, you know what? God's interrupting your plans because you could be out to the mall, you could be out buying for each other, you could be home decorating, cooking, but God interrupts your plans. It says, that'll all come, but I want to interrupt your plan. Some of our teenagers went out caroling at the Sterling House to some of the seniors. That's a great interruption of your plans. Thank you for letting God interrupt your plans and going and ministering to someone else. But how many knows when He comes, we can trust Him because He's got something good that He wants to birth through you. He's really put that in my heart this year, that every person that He's called, every person that is born again, He calls into the kingdom. He wants to birth something through you. Maybe He wants to birth through you salvation to some agnostic or maybe to an atheist. And He has chosen you to birth the light of Jesus Christ through to that individual. Maybe He wants you to be the one bold enough to tell people the truth. I was talking to a family member yesterday and they was talking about... One of my family members has a friend, and this friend of hers is a homosexual and her lesbian, and my little brother was telling him, well, you know, that's sin, and you know, you need to share with them. And they said, well, how do you know it's sin? Well, it's in the Bible, he said. He said, where's it at? He said, I don't know. Jack would know, but I don't know. It's in there, though. Trust me. See, and if you don't know what I'm saying, the reason I bring that out is because if you don't know, just tell them, I don't know, but I'll look it up and I'll get back with you. Sometimes we don't share because we think we don't know enough, but God's wanting to birth salvation through you to someone else and to be a light to all kinds of friends that you may have. And by the way, we should have homosexual and lesbian friends. And if that makes you uncomfortable, then you need to get more sure of who you are in Christ. Did you know when he got out of the stable and he got out of the manger, he hung around with people who had all kinds of problems with prostitutes and lowlifes, and he touched them and he healed them and he brought them into significance, and that's what the gift is about. So if you're not comfortable hanging around sinners, then you ought to at least hang around them uncomfortable. My little brother was talking, he said, don't you think she needs to tell her? And I said, of course. At some point, she needs to share the good news and the gospel and needs to put it in some kind of positive light that will say, you know what, I love you. But we need to speak the truth in love because this is what God did when He sent His Son to the world. He was speaking the truth in love. I have come to set the captives free, to set us free. And I'm going to accomplish that through the birth and the life and the death of my Son Jesus. I said, I've always had this phrase. I don't know where I picked it up, but for years I said, you know what? If somebody don't know Christ and you need to confront them, wouldn't you rather them go to hell mad than just go to hell? To share the truth, and if they get mad at you, then that's not your problem. It's not, I mean, this is not your message. You're just the messenger. When your post office, your postal carrier brings by your electric bill and your house payment and all, sticks it in your mailbox, you don't run after him saying, don't you ever bring me bill back again to mine. No, he's just the messenger. You're just the messenger. But let's be a light. Let's celebrate Christmas all year and the fact that we're going to celebrate the birth and what Jesus accomplished for us. I just believe that God has a great year for us ahead. Do you know this year we've given more to missions than probably we've ever given possibly in the history of our church and if not in a long time. We bless more people this year than ever before. And that blesses me. Now the crowd's not bigger than it's ever been, but the giving heart and the spirit here and the quality of the leadership here, it's amazing to me. The ability and the leadership that we have in our church. People that can get up and speak and sing and lead and teach and do and is active. And we have so many active people. Usually it doesn't matter the size of the church, there's only like 20% get involved in giving and doing, and we have a lot bigger percentage of that. But you know what? I'm not satisfied, are you? Every year we need to just get stronger and better because we know more about God and we look more like Jesus and we're determined to do more than we did last year. Because of the opportunity we have and because of the knowledge that we have now where we've learned and we've studied, I'm a little more appreciative about the story after studying it one more year. Did you study it this year? Did you see the sacrifice that God gave to bring His Son in? And a little bit of what I share with you, I hope that you spend that time alone with Jesus just finding new things and discovering new things in your time with Him. Just seeing what Jesus can do through you and how big Jesus can be through you this year. Teenagers raised several $100 to help needy families and stuff. Isn't that wonderful when teenagers will take the initiative and do stuff like that? Because we're living in a world where a lot of teenagers think, the world is about me. Hello? And to see them sit on the front row and play pianos and sing and greet and do electronics and just run around here giving and loving and doing, that is thrilling to me. So let's spend our year. Let's spend our year giving what Jesus has given us away. He didn't call us to comfort. He called us to obedience. Let's be willing to pray. God, postpone my meetings if you need to for a while to accomplish your will through me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the great gift and great sacrifice that Jesus gave as He left heaven and came to earth in the form of humanity. We thank you for your loving heart in giving your only begotten Son for us. And we just take this day to stop and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We stop today to thank you one more time and say thank you so much for giving your Son. Jesus, we stop and thank you today, and we thank you for being willing to come and to take on this temporal skin and walk among us. We thank you for all the sacrifices you made for us as you lived a sinless life, all the temptations you avoided, and all the things that looked good to your flesh that you walked by and said, no, it's not the Father's will. We thank you for your journey, and we thank you for taking our stripes, and we thank you for taking our cross. And it all started with the birth. And so we celebrate that today. Father, I believe in 2007 you want to birth many things through us as a congregation and many things through each individual here. Perhaps it's a new ministry. Perhaps it's a prayer chain, or maybe it's an intercessory prayer through someone. Maybe it's a ministry of encouragement through someone. Maybe it's the light of Jesus Christ that you want to shine to someone that's lost and dying. They've never shared with the individual. They love them, but they've never asked them about their faith. Maybe this year you want them to just dig a little deeper and present the gospel in a beautiful message to a lost and dying world. So whatever it is this year, Lord, that you want to birth through us, we give you permission. Interrupt our schedules and give birth through us. Impregnate us with the will of God. Let our light shine to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, the altars are open. Before we take communion, anyone have prayer needs today? The altars are open. Prayer warriors are here and ready to meet you at the altar and lift your need up before the Lord. They're ready to pray with you and pray over you. And anyone else today? Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else today?